Today's podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can help you buy a used car as well. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront, actual, factual pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. You'll see what other people paid for the car that you want so you can know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want. And with TrueCar, users are saving an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here to talk about the week's most interesting news stories once again here on the old News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on quick math, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. Here we are back once again. The week of June 27th, last week of June here in 2017. I'm very excited to be back with the bros talking about all of this very important news. And so let's meet the panel, of course, back with us, a man who is shaking off a bachelorette party hangover. Here is Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good, Rob. Like you said, bachelorette party last night was off the hook. And then it actually wasn't. We had two friends over to watch the show with us.
Okay. And then, one of those friends is here with us today. Here is Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I was there, but I wasn't watching the bachelorette. I was up upstairs.
Correct. Yeah. Rocking out with his cock out.
Well, the... yeah, that stayed in because, you know, we weren't rocking that hard.
No, yeah. No. Okay. So there you go. And so, when people say you were at a bachelorette party, it makes it sound like you might have been like the stripper.
Yeah, that's true. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. You know, entertaining and, putting on a real show. That's possible.
Tyson was putting on a show. He was putting on an eating clinic. For his guests.
Hell yeah, dude. They brought all the treats, so I tried not to I tried not to devour all of them. I actually was very subdued. But then when I got my own chips and hummus out, I made sure to mow through that. Because here's a little thing. I'm a little OCD about hummus. So yeah, okay. I will open a fresh hummus and eat it, but I will not open a hummus that's been sitting. So once there's all the dig marks in the hummus, I stop.
Here's the best part about Tyson's strategy when it comes to eating candy is that he had laid the spread out on the couch, and then he was kind of curled up in a half moon position, acting as
around
a wall,
it.
Right? Kind of protecting it with his body and making it really awkward. So if you wanted to get any candy, you'd have to nestle up your nether regions with Tyson.
Oh.
So it was a great strategy in order to keep the treats to yourself.
Well, but when I was younger, a lot of people would nestle up to me. Now that I'm older and grosser and hairier and fatter and stupider looking.
Okay.
You look comfortable. You looked very comfortable last night.
I am.
In the clothes.
Dad bod. Yeah. No, it was good. But Danny, I had a salad for dinner. So that's why I... justified eating
they
some treats.
They cancel each other out?
Well, I think
like
even more
the
so.
The yin and the yang of the diet?
Yeah, I mean, I probably ate 600 calories worth of treats, but I only had a 200-calorie dinner.
Nice. Way to balance.
Boom.
It's all about balance.
You don't have to tell me.
Well, how are you feeling today, Tyson?
I feel okay. Bergen got up super early for some reason, and we're still on our Disneyland hangover. We took Bergen to Disneyland last week.
Yeah.
And this is awesome. At Disneyland, we left after meeting Tinkerbell, but you had to go park your stroller in the stroller parking. We came back, took our stroller, walked around, and then Rachel's like, somebody stole the bag off of our stroller. And I was like, that's weird, but I guess if you're going to steal something, it's a bag. So you'd snag it. And then snake it. And then after a while, I was looking at the stroller. I was like, this isn't our stroller. We took the wrong stroller. So
you were the stroller thief.
I was the stroller thief. So then I was like, well, it's been an hour. Those guys obviously took our stroller because they're identical strollers. Ours just has like a little bag, like cup holder attachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, they kind of got an upgrade, but our stroller's beat up. Theirs was brand new. So we both traded. They're like a $40 Target stroller. So it's not a big deal. So I was like, there's no way they're still there. And then we walked past that. So I, Rachel's like, they're not there. No, they're not there. No, they're not there. No, they're not there. That's dumb. I'm not wasting my time. And they're not there. Like, they probably spent $7,000 to get into Disneyland today. There's no way they're hanging around for their $40 stroller to make sure they get the right one. We walked past that area like 4 hours later, and our stroller was sitting there. And we went up to the dude that was standing there, the Disney employee, because it was at the entrance to meet Tinkerbell. And I was like, that's our stroller. We accidentally swapped. And they're like, oh, yeah, those people were by multiple times to see if their stroller had been returned. And they assumed that that one was yours, but they didn't take it. And security, they got security involved to help them find their stroller. And I was like,
well, you were like a wanted vigilante at Disneyland.
So, with inches of being tased.
Exactly. So I was like, well, here's theirs. So we just swapped back. But it, and then Rachel was like, those people walked around Disneyland without their stroller with who knows like how many kids and how old the kid who's using the stroller. Feel so bad. Most of the kids in strollers at Disneyland are like 18 years old. I don't know why there's like 12 to 18 year olds in strollers. And then the other thing is when I had Bergen, she was sleeping in the stroller at one point, and I was like tucked off into this like little corner of Disneyland where there was shade and nobody. And all of a sudden this loud, obnoxious lady came over and started yelling about where the smoking area was. And then I saw her, and she kind of woke up Bergen. And then I saw her later, and she was holding a baby. And Rachel was like, maybe that's the lady. I was like, that's the lady that woke Bergen up yelling about a smoking area where I was like tucked off by myself, and she was trying to find where to smoke a cigarette. And she's like, if that's this lady's stroller we took, I don't feel too bad. I was like, I don't either. So anyways, I mean, is it a looming felony? I don't know, but
yeah, you gotta be careful. Maybe never return.
Tyson can never go back to Disneyland.
I could have gone to Disney jail, dude.
Yeah, or Hungary, where you have lots of parking tickets.
Is there Disney jail?
I don't know if that's a joke that Simpsons made up or if there really is, but I feel like there probably is something like that.
There has to be like a holding cell.
Yeah.
Is it part of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, like with those guys who are in the cell and they're trying to get the dog to bring them the keys? Is that sort of like the adjoining cell is Disney jail?
You become part of the attraction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, especially if they put like some sort of like soundproof glass so you couldn't just be like screaming expletives as the but if you're just like an angry guy and
you know, that could be. But I feel like there's even still things you could do. Like you'd have to do something because you could expose yourself to the crowds or something like that. You could still ruin everyone's
silhouette
day at Disneyland.
Maybe that's a sort of silhouette, backlit.
We both know silhouettes could be sexy because we've all seen those mud flaps on those trunks.
It's the same tattoo that you have, Danny, on your full back tattoo.
On my tramp stamp.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly the one that I have.
Okay. Well, we got a lot of news to get to, of course. Every week we get stories sent to us in our Facebook group, Group AF. We're easy to find. We'll even add you to the group if you want to join, as long as you are not a spam bot or coming on to promote your podcast in your first couple of posts. You're welcome to join us and talk about the news or email us tips@newsaf.news. So this is a world-shaking development for us, because I think that there was a lot of talk, especially last fall, about are we Gen Xers? But we're sort of on the borderline of being a millennial. We're only missed it by a few years, but we don't feel like Gen Xer as well.
Yeah.
Here is a news story that was sent to us this week, and our good friend Lancelot Draper found this story from the Daily Mail, which tells us that people like ourselves, born between the years of 1977 and 1983, may not be Gen Xers or millennials. We may be hybrids of a newly discovered generation called the Xennials. Tyson, is this a game changer for you?
Yeah, it definitely is. I finally feel like I belong, because I always felt like I had that millennial DNA where even if I wanted to work, I don't really know how and can't really grasp the entire concept of it. And I feel like Danny's that same way. And Rob, I mean, you're self-employed, so you're a little bit different, and you're hardworking. But maybe you're like on the higher functioning spectrum of the Xennials, where me and Danny are on the lower end.
Yeah, so the Xennials, due to their experience at the crossroads of old and new, we grew up in an era without new media, but we're young enough to be able to adopt it early, so might be the chosen people who will save, right. We are the culmination of the old school and new school.
Yeah, I think that we are the perfect mix. I think that, first of all, it's a great name. Sounds like we're superheroes.
Xennials.
Yeah.
Xennials, kind of like Xavier. Anyways, great name. I think it kind of designates who we are as a generation, because we can get in touch with the old people who don't understand anything, but we're fresh enough to realize and understand technology, so we can still mingle with some of the younger, the young set.
Yeah.
So I love how they've said it's a mix between pessimists and optimists, which I also think is true. I think
Danny.
I agree, but millennials are pure. They tend to be more nihilistic, they don't really believe in anything. They kind of shun everything. And so the old school, they talk about how great their generation was, all the things that they built. We're just right there in the middle. We believe things can be done. We just doubt they'll ever be done.
Yeah.
And if they are, we don't really care.
Yeah.
We grew up in a world where there was no internet in the home.
Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that? A lot of these millennials don't even understand that, but we understand them.
We understand that. But then in our 20s, according to this article, we hit the technology revolution and the internet age. And so we learned to consume media and came of age before Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. So we came into the world where there was old media, all TV and newspaper. But now we've had to learn to exist in a world where everything is digital.
Yeah, I think that the way to know if you're a Xennial is to ask yourself, did you have a MySpace page?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you had a MySpace page, you're in this group.
Yeah, but I think to embrace the entire attitude of the Xennials, it has to be if you use email like later in life. Like I remember learning how to use email when I was like 18 and being like, I hope this thing never takes off because I don't really fully grasp it. And then it did take off and I grasped it.
So You got it.
Luckily, Tyson, or else you would have been
left
behind.
And anybody can email me at xxxsweetangelbabytyson6969 at AOL.com.
Boy, you got an email address that early and you had to get such a complicated address?
I wanted to be first on the trend of sexy email tags, bro.
Yeah.
It's got 69 in it a bunch of times, and it's got XXX in it a few times.
I think another way to tell if you're a Xennial is if you're rocking a drop crotch pair of pants and you still have an AOL email account. That's also a pretty good sign.
Well, where do I fit? Because I got rid of my
drop
crotches.
You're moving into more of a Gen X as you age, Tyson.
Maybe even baby boomer. Maybe I'm jumping straight to baby boomer.
You were wearing sweats last night or some kind of sweats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you might be moving into baby boomer. No?
I was wearing red khakis, bro. Like tropical style khakis.
That's why eyewitness accounts are worthless.
Guess what I'm wearing this morning? The same exact clothes I had on last night.
Perfect. Oh, so I think that Xennials is better because I don't know where to place myself.
Yeah.
Right? and I hate having to do it. Why do they have these classifications?
So that you can say, well, I'm better than this person because I'm a this. Mm-hmm. It's all about
so when
it's very tribal, Danny.
When we become a pure socialist society and the only way for the government to pit the people against them, each other, is with these labels.
They're going to do a generational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, generational battle.
Yeah.
Well, we know who will win because the older people have great grip strength.
Oh, my gosh.
So choking the younger generation will be a lot easier.
From the handshake.
Why are they so good at that?
They had to practice.
Crushing hands.
Well, actually, how's our grip strength? Is it just so-so in sort
that's
of like
good.
The pecking
that's
order?
Good. That's what Xennials are. Xennials are millennials who can give a proper handshake.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah. Because have you ever shook hands with a millennial? They have limp dead fish, and then they always have like pasty hands. I'm sorry, millennials, but that that's true.
So here are some of the signs that you're an Xennial, of course, that they say. The first is, were you born in between the release of Star Wars A New Hope and Return of the Jedi? If so, you might be a millennial. Maybe there's like some Jeff or Xennial, some Jeff Foxworthy out there doing all Xennial jokes.
Yeah.
You might be
an
Xennial.
You think Jeff Foxworthy is that progressive?
Well, I know there needs to be some sort of Xennial Jeff Foxworthy that's out there doing this material. Yeah.
Yeah, Dane Cook could make a comeback. Yeah, he's probably listening right now to try and steal some of our jokes.
I think Dane Cook is huge with the Xennials. I think that's his core demo.
That is his core demo.
It was his core demo.
Yeah. Some other tells that you're an Xennial. If you didn't get your first mobile phone until your late teens or 20s and it was a brick. Danny, is that you?
I got my first phone in my late teens. Mm-hmm. And it was a Nokia, and it was red, and it was huge. And nobody else had one, so it was almost completely worthless.
Yeah. Danny is from a millionaire family, Rob, and I didn't know Danny back then, but apparently he was the first and only kid in high school to have a cell phone.
I knew nobody.
Zach Morris of his day
had a cell phone.
Yeah, he was the Zach Morris of Temp View High School, which is up on the bench, which is the fancy part of town.
Yeah.
Yep,
and he probably drove a brand new white Jeep Wrangler that his parents bought
Wrangler
for him.
No, the Wrangler was a status symbol, but I actually drove a truck, brand new truck.
Okay, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Okay, all right. So, is there any other takeaways? What should we do to unite our fellow Xennials, Danny?
Well, we're the bridge between these two generations.
Yes,
you know. So, if anyone's going to connect these two misunderstood generations, it's going to be us. It's up to us.
We're management.
To unify the world.
Now, Tyson, they also are calling this the Oregon Trail generation because I guess that this was the game they made us play in school.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. When we would go to computer class in elementary school, we would play Oregon Trail. Do you say Oregon? I say Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, what is going on? I've never heard of Oregon Trail.
I say Oregon Trail. We played that in elementary school. I remember like in third and fourth grade from our elementary class, our teacher would be like, okay, computer time. And we're like, heck yeah, we get to go and play Oregon Trail for an hour. And somehow that teaches us about computers. What other things would we do? Pong wasn't invented yet. It was.
I think Pong was invented.
I think Pong was invented. I think that's an 80s thing.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. It definitely was. I think it might even be like a 70s thing and like the first Atari sets. So, but a lot of like regular Nintendo, regular NES.
Mm. Yeah, we went through the console wars too.
Yeah,
that was
a big
war for us. I mean, we don't remember the first Iraq war, but we remember the console
war. Of Nintendo versus Sega?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
Atari paved the way.
16-bit versus 8-bit.
That's right. We were born in Atari age, the Atari age, and then we witnessed the Nintendo-Sega battle that cleared the ground for the Xbox.
We've seen it all, and that's why the Xennials are the greatest generation. We really could give you the whole
without a doubt.
Oral history of video games from inception to where it is now. Okay,
without a doubt.
All right, before we get to the next story, let's thank a sponsor, and those are our friends over at Simply Safe, because as a father, I know that I think of all the things that we do each day to keep our family safe. Danny, what kinds of things do you do to keep your family safe?
I never let them go outside.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Simply Safe Home Security System is another fantastic way to keep them safe. It's super easy, too. Simply Safe is a security arsenal expertly engineered to protect your home. You could set up the system yourself in under an hour. I did it, and I didn't even require any outside help. No drilling or hard wiring required, and you save hundreds on installation fees. Simply Safe has a super fast wireless connection to authorities and a police dispatch. 24/7 alarm monitoring is just $14.99 a month with no hidden fees, no annoying gotchas. That's it. No long-term contracts either. Tyson, that sounds like something you could get behind, right?
100%.
Yeah. No hidden fees, no annoying gotchas. I hate that. That's it. No long-term contracts either. Simply Safe will not lock you in like other alarm companies do, but they'll lock the bad guys out. That's for sure. Feel free to cancel anytime. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial to test out the system in your home to see if you like it. I can't recommend Simply Safe enough to protect your family. Right now, go to simplysafe.com/dad now. If you order today, you get an extra 10% off, plus a free keychain remote and free shipping. That's at simplysafe.com/dad. All right, let's talk about another story going on from a woman who is really at the center of so much controversy here on News AF. Gwyneth Paltrow, once again, is back up to her old tricks. I really do think that she is the official antagonist of News AF, Danny.
The greatest troll ever born.
When we find out who's behind the galactic salt mines, ultimately, it will, in fact, be Gwyneth Paltrow.
Because we'll all be mining the galactic salt mines for her product.
Yeah, because salt is good for your complexion.
Gwyneth Paltrow's brand Goop is now selling stickers she calls Body Vibes that allegedly promote healing and balance in the body. Their products are claimed to be made with the same material that NASA uses on spacesuits to monitor the astronauts' vital signs. So NASA just came out with a statement claiming they use no such carbon materials in their suits and that everything is a load of BS. Sent to us by David Bengston.
As one person has said in this article, it's a bunch of goop shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like that. Yeah. I like that phrase. Well,
Danny, when is the class action lawsuit coming against Gwyneth Paltrow?
You would have thought it had happened. I mean, she's telling people to put things into their orifices. She's selling stones. She's selling stickers. Are there asterisks at the bottom of all of these product descriptions? That's what I want to know, because that's where they're going to nail you. That these false claims of what they can and cannot do. If there's no asterisk, I feel like you're setting yourself up for a class action lawsuit.
Yeah. So the response was that we regret not doing our due diligence before including the distributor's information in the story of our product. However, the origins of the material do not in any way impact the efficiency of our product. So they're not really backing down. They're saying it still works. They're just saying that, okay. Oh, yes.
Let's get our is
Does
it
Rachel
our publicist?
Have some of these, Tyson?
No, we're going to get Sarah McClellan on the case, see if we can get three stickers to try, one for each of us. We'll try them on the podcast and see if that elevates our well-being and health and energy.
Yeah,
we can conscientiously couple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what they should call it. All right, so here's what the stickers supposedly do. They work on reducing inflammation, boosting cell turnover, and smoothing out physical tension and anxiety.
I'd like all those things to take place.
Mm-hmm. Now, as Xennials, are we like? Do we need a lot of stickers to reduce inflammation?
I mean, we're getting to the age where that's a real concern is our health, and so I feel like we need to try anything. And with all these new age medicines, you just like it's hard. It's hard to know, but these stickers sound like they maybe are. I mean, they have nicotine patches and those work.
Let's just cover Tyson in stickers, because that's the only way to find out whether or not it works is just to do a ton of it at once.
Oh my gosh, that's a good idea. Yeah, see if we could get like 100 stickers and I'll wear all of them around under my shirt all day long.
Right. Now, to me, wearing stickers, I feel like is, I don't want to say necessarily, you're signaling to people that you're like, hey, look at me, I'm special, I'm wearing stickers. I feel like that the stickers are not like just like a black circle, that they are colorful stickers so that people notice you, like, hey, oh, you got a sticker.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking at them right now. There's one with a dude flexing a bicep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then another one with a bird, and another one with a fancy star design.
This is one of those placebo things, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like, okay, the people who, it's like, it's a placebo, got a strong placebo effect, much like yoga or kombucha.
Yeah.
So in Goop's defense, all right, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Oh my God, Daddy.
In Goop's defense, Gwyneth is doing what so many other people do. Everybody out there is pitching unscientific products with unproven results all the time. Diets, shoes, clothing. Yeah, like shoes that help certain situations in your back or your knees, clothing that's supposedly more breathable. Everybody kind of exaggerates what their product can and cannot do. And so in a way, Gwyneth is just, she's kind of just doing what is pretty common in, you know, marketing and in the world of products, because lots of people out there are selling vitamins, selling food, diet plans, exercise regimens, and promising all sorts of things. So,
Rob, can you believe Gwyneth finally got to Danny?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not paying me anything yet, but I would gladly pitch Goop for the right amount of money.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to add that for the correct amount of money, I too would become a Goop representative.
And by the way, the fact that her product is called Goop only proves that you can name a product whatever you want and still be successful, because I will shovel your Goop, Gwyneth. I will shovel your Goop to the masses.
Should we come up with a company name and start like selling our own snake oil? Like, let's call it like Poop Dog.
Spurt. Okay.
Now that we have a name, I think we've all agreed on the name.
Yeah.
We can sell whatever we want. Just look around your room for anything you might have. Like, I have a fake mustache right there, which seems odd, but we could just
tell our representatives that they can say that it cures cancer.
Guys,
comes back to us, we'll be like, no, we never said that. They said that, but they are not us.
Let me introduce you to the News AF mustache. Mm. This mustache will increase your confidence, improve improve your mental stability, give you super long erections. I mean, this mustache
how long? Over 4 hours?
Wait, hold on. Long
under four
from
hours.
A time perspective or a length perspective?
No, you got to be vague. Okay. It's just going to improve. Oh. I'm not going to tell you how it's going to improve. Right? So we know it's going to improve
it's
your confidence.
It's a longer and girthier erection.
Yeah,
but
no specific claims.
Don't say longer.
Yeah.
You can't say any specific claims.
More powerful.
Can you put this
News AF power mustache will make your life, will change your life forever. See, that's the way to phrase it, because it's true. It's going to change your life forever.
Yeah.
It's just we're not going to say which way. So this is on sale
and
now.
And where do you wear it?
$150.
Do you wear it on your face?
We recommend you wear it on your upper lip, but you can also wear it on your neck. You can also wear it on your lower back.
Right.
There's lots of places, but to maximize the universal energy and allow it to flow through you, you need to put it on your upper lip.
Right. It's like Dumbo's feather, right? It doesn't actually do anything. But if you believe that it does something, I mean, who's to say it doesn't do anything?
Yep. The News AF power
when I stash. Remember when I said placebo earlier?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I saw a list of some of the greatest medical devices ever to be invented. And the placebo was on that list, Tyson, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Mental. Yeah. It's mind over matter. Yep.
And the News AF Power Mustache will help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$150 per stash.
Yeah. Tyson, does your hat have any special properties?
It says turnt on the underside of the bill, so when you flip that mofo up, you look baller.
Yeah. That hat is literally and physically and figuratively turnt.
And then watch this.
Turnt up.
Boom.
Now
down.
It's turnt down.
Just a standard colorful hat. Boom. Danny, you want one, don't you?
I do. I don't know if I have the confidence to rock that, though. What happens to mine when I do that?
Nothing.
If you have to ask yourself if you have the confidence to rock it, you don't have the confidence to rock
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like if you have to go to a class on leadership to become a leader, you'll never be able
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, shots fired from Danny today. Okay. This is a story from the New Hampshire Senate, which we follow very closely.
It's one of our favorite Senates to follow, isn't it?
So there was some legislation that was passed this week, which briefly allowed pregnant women to murder people without any consequences through a loophole in a law. The bill was intended to define the personhood of a fetus, with exceptions for women who want abortions in certain cases, but the language read that any act committed by the pregnant woman or their doctors would be possibly legal, even in cases of second-degree murder, manslaughter, and negligent homicide, or causing or aiding in suicide, Danny. Do you think this is an accident? Were you buying this?
This is, I mean, to give the murder loophole to a pregnant woman is a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, if anybody has cause to murder everyone around them, it's a pregnant woman.
I check calls and catch up, and they will go berserko.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think that maybe when lawmakers make laws, they should do it 140 characters at a time so that we can slowly scan through it if we actually cared, you know, rather than writing these gigantic multi-page stacks of laws that let in the pregnancy murder loophole. You know, maybe just shrink it down a little bit, a drip, drip, drip at a time might be better. Mm-hmm. So we don't have this, because I don't want my wife to have this kind of exclusion.
Should pregnant women be allowed to commit one murder? I mean, if you were going to bring one life into this world, should you be allowed to take one, Tyson?
I mean, maybe in the future, right before the galactic salt mines become a reality, I feel like for population control, they would have to do something like that.
The only problem is, just like in the wild, there are some species, insects, I think, that eat the spouse, right?
The black widow.
The black widow.
The praying mantis.
The black widow. I feel like that might become pretty common practice, because who is the woman going to murder? She's going to murder the person most obnoxious and closest to her, which most likely is her husband. So that just puts us in danger. I think that we need to close this loophole if it hasn't been closed already.
So yeah. Are you recommending that millennials not get married for fear of being murdered by their spouse once they impregnate her?
Yeah, well, I definitely wouldn't get married in New Hampshire and get pregnant instantly without this law being cleaned up.
Yeah.
Plus, the millennials can just wait for the birthings, you know, the birthing tubes that I'm sure someone's going to come up with, and they can just...
Yeah,
they don't even have to carry it anymore. Some robot will take care of it in a birthing facility. Yeah.
You just jam two little vials of goo into the into the childbearing robot, and then the robot walks around complaining about swollen feet all day long until they poop a human baby out. That's it. But the program of the robot is to walk around and be like, my feet are so swollen, my back hurts. I don't know why they program it to just act exactly the same, but it... I mean, you got to still
Tyson's,
have that real
right
feel.
Now, Tyson's asking for a stabbing from a pregnant woman. Tyson, avoid New Hampshire.
Are you saying that we should repurpose the sex robots to become childbearing robots?
Couldn't they be both?
Yeah, so this is now a sex robot that you could get pregnant and then will bear you a descendant?
Yes, correct.
Interesting.
Do you not like that idea?
So is this some sort of a means of like artificial insemination? Is this sort of like a, so the sex robot functions as a surrogate for parents that are trying to,
correct.
For whatever reason, they have conception problems. And so instead of going to a laboratory.
Not even conception problems. It's just like, who wants to be pregnant? And so it's like, if man can't experience the joys of childbirth, then they're going to take that away from women as well by creating robots to do all of that for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So this is a pretty interesting idea.
Will the robot be able to murder somebody while pregnant?
I think you can program the robot. I don't know. That's where I think you send – I think at that point when we have these robots in place, what they're going to do is they're going to snag the most worthless person in society that is that they can find and ship them to the galactic salt mines.
Why?
So that's when we start transporting people to the galactic salt mines.
Mm-hmm. There is a problem with Tyson's surrogate robot, and that is that now you have the robots. They have all the future generations in their hands. They have all the power. Because if everybody's using surrogate robots, the robots could at any time be like either no more humans or
implant chips into every baby.
Yeah, or somehow modify the baby to be a big pro-robot.
Okay, let's rethink this because if we're going to pitch this to Mark Cuban, we got to be spot.
Right.
Okay, so robots.
You don't need to work through it all right now, Tyson.
Yeah.
We've got time.
Well, robots. That's the main thing.
Get worried once Alexa comes with the impregnation port.
Yeah.
Alexa, when you get the Alexa impregnation
Google,
port.
Yeah. Become pregnant with my child.
Insert human USB.
Did that work?
And download.
Yeah.
Download child now.
I think it would be more uploading your sample.
Yeah. Upload sample now.
Yeah. Upload sample now. And then... Into the bolt hole of Alexa.
Oh, this is not a Brave New World we're discussing. This all sounds very terrifying.
It's not good. It's not good.
That's how. Have you guys ever read the book The Time Machine?
Yep.
I think I saw
he
the
goes
movie.
Into the future thinking it's going to be a fantastic, amazing future, and it just disintegrates before his eyes.
He ends up with what? The Morlocks?
Sounds like the story of my life.
Yeah.
No, he goes even further to where it's just like giant crabs roaming the earth.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, we're all destined to become crabs.
And I think that there is no place for us in the future.
Mm, okay.
Oh, there's that millennial in you talking.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
Now we
know you're a Xennial.
Well, who's more pessimistic, the millennials or the Gen Xers? I feel like that the Gen Xers are probably more pessimistic.
Yeah, because we went through the 90s. Remember how negative the 90s were?
No, the millennials are negative.
Grunge bands.
The millennials are the ones that are considered to be negative. They have a very negative outlook because they came through the big crash in 2007. You know, they've seen their parents lose their house, lose their jobs. So they have less hope. We grew up in the booming 90s.
Yeah, but I feel like that the Gen Xers say that like everything sucks now.
Yeah, but at least they had a little bit of hope.
crushed. It got crushed.
I mean, Tyson's already showing that he's a lot millennial.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
So, yeah, with all of your doubt, you said there's no hope for humanity, that we're just headed for the crabs.
Well, I mean, eventually the sun's going to explode.
Well, yeah, two and a half billion years or something. We've got time. We can leave this planet, Tyson.
Okay.
That's the generation. That's a Gen Xer in me talking. Mm-hmm. We're going to get off this planet.
Okay. You're right.
All right. Well, let's talk about a serial story sent to us by Dave Backer.
The podcast or the
the breakfast food. Ooh, Cinnamon yum. Toast Crunch has come out with a new selfie spoon that allows you to take selfies while you eat cereal. Danny, does this appeal to the millennial in you?
I'm looking at it, and it looks like they're giving fellatio to a robot.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought when I saw the picture. It's like all these people crouch down, like holding this metal protrusion in their mouth, like looking up
it's
at it.
It's not a great angle.
No, was this invented by the robots in order to prepare us mentally to receive them?
Wait, hold on. Hold on, Tyson is giving us the demonstration.
Yeah,
wait, does Tyson have one at his house? Oh, I can't see it.
Yeah, Tyson.
Okay, all right. Very nice, Tyson. You seem to be pretty
enjoying
that.
He's
enjoying that.
He's got it. So, yeah, so this is maybe a miscalculation on the bakers over at Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Or is it? Rob, I don't know if you know this or Danny either. Pornography is very, very popular amongst certain crowds.
Mm-hmm. Most crowds.
Yeah. Well, I can see.
Okay, yeah. Well.
Yes.
So maybe it's not a bad play by them, especially now. Danny was onto something with the robot thing. A selfie stick is partly robot if it has a Bluetooth button.
Yeah,
on it.
And I just realized that all men carry a selfie stick on them. If we're going to use this as a selfie stick,
right?
All men have a selfie stick on them.
Yeah, So it's interesting. So you envision, like, maybe if you could wear some sort of like belt mounted camera, some sort of like a belt buckle GoPro, you could sort of like recreate these photos, Danny.
Yes, that's one
way. Belt buckle GoPro mount?
Yes.
Okay, now we're on to something. Sloth terrarium, here we go.
Sloth terrarium, that shiz. I mean, that is a great idea. I was thinking more of the, you know, the flesh stick selfie, the fleshy.
Okay.
But the belt idea is even better, Rob, because that's exactly the view we're getting here, that the robot has got a camera on his belt. Like, he must have like a utility belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cereal bowl is on the belt, and then he's got a camera on the belt. So the robot belt camera.
Yeah, a miscalculation for Cinnamon Toast Crunch, apparently.
Or is it
we don't know. That's the thing, until we can get into their headquarters and find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like I hadn't talked about Cinnamon Toast Crunch for about 15 years until you brought this story up. So,
are you a fan?
What's that tell you? I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch just fine. Let me tell you a little something about myself, Rob.
Please.
Danny may already know. I'm addicted to cold cereal.
Oh.
And so I don't keep any in my house because I'll eat the entire box. And I'll have a whole gallon of milk and an entire box of family-sized cereal, so I just don't buy it.
What's the number one cereal for you?
Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, when did you know you had a problem?
Very early on. I didn't know it was a problem at first when my mom was like, okay, you have to have one bowl of healthy cereal before you can eat the entire box of whatever sugar cereal we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that. And the reason I like Fruity Pebbles is because if you let them just sit in the milk for like 10 seconds, you don't even have to chew. You can just swallow them down.
Yeah, soften them up so you can just slurp those babies down.
Open the gullet.
Yeah.
By the way, you'll notice that in Cinnamon Toast Crunch, in their pitcher advertisement, that guy's not putting that in his mouth. So either they knew it and they decided to avoid that pitcher in their advertisement.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what this leads me to believe, because that guy's not garbling up that spoon. Garbling up that spoon.
Do you think we could get some, Sarah McClellan, you got another job right now, to get us some of those spoons. Get us the spoons, get us the stickers. We're going to be on fire.
Tyson's going to be wearing 100 stickers and just eating. This spoon was made for Tyson, by the way. We saw what he did with the microphone. We know about his love of cereal. Get him the stickers. Get him the spoon. He'll be in the highlight.
And you know, by following my Instagram, how much I love to take selfies.
Just don't get Tyson any Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because we don't want him to fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
No, Fruity Pebbles.
I've been sober for about 10 years.
Yeah. What if you could you get like the trial size package?
No. Yeah, I could.
Like in a diner?
Like a little. Yeah.
My favorite picture, I don't know if you guys have the article up, is the woman in the striped outfit with the surprised look on her face.
Yeah.
Like she didn't know the robot had that ability.
Yeah.
She's like,
I didn't know that the spoon was this big. Oh, my God.
I didn't know I had a G-spot in my mouth.
Oh,
those robots. Yeah.
You mean a D-spot for delicious.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, G for grams.
D-spot for delicious.
Is Golden Grahams the same as Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
No, they're totally different.
They're different. Yeah.
I think I like Golden Grahams better.
But you when like the robot, Golden Grahams better?
Yeah.
When the robot's feeding it to you, it tastes all the same.
It's all the same.
An explosion of flavor in your mouth when you're using this.
Yes. Okay. So this is like the inverse of the robot that you get pregnant. This is the robot that All right, let's move on.
Impregnates you with deliciousness.
Yeah.
Let me thank one other sponsor, our friends over at Denny's. Denny's has always been a place where America can come get their favorite breakfast, lunch, and dinner dishes, serving guests whatever they want whenever they crave it. But now with Denny's On Demand, they've taken that same always open philosophy that's synonymous with Denny's and applied it to online ordering, bringing access to craveable diner fare whenever you want it. Tyson, you could be ordering Denny's. Tyson, you could be snacking on some Denny's anytime you want it. Next time you have a bachelorette party, boom, Denny's.
Living that Grand Slam life.
Yeah. Thanks to the new platform, guests have a quick and easy way to place a mobile or online order for takeout or delivery of their favorite menu items all day, every day. With Denny's On Demand, new online ordering, your diner favorites are available at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com and click to order online or download the Denny's app.
Moons Over Miami is another dish they have.
They do. Let's move on. This is a story sent to us by Brian Elwood about how some people in England are concerned the Queen was riding in a car without a seatbelt. The police department of Yorkshire confirmed someone reported the emergency, even though the Queen wasn't even in West Yorkshire. But according to British law, even if police did care about the incident, civil and criminal proceedings can't be taken against the Queen, according to UK law. Danny, was somebody trying to be protective of the Queen, or they were trying to narc on the Queen?
You know, the Queen's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
And one
She's
of
like
few
a trillion
things,
years old, dude.
Yeah. One of the few things that I remember from my grandma when she got old, she would always say, "I just want to die." And I, I'm not kidding. And so I'm wondering if the Queen
that's what my
is
grandma
like
would say too.
Living dangerously.
Yeah.
You know, because she's had enough.
Really?
Yeah, she's like done. Taking every... And when you're that old, it's not like you can be like, "I'm going to go bungee jumping today." No, you're too brittle. They will not allow you to go bungee jumping. But if she's like, "I'm going to ride in the... like one of the few things dangerous I can still do as a 1,000-year-old person."
Yeah, if she tried to bungee jump, she would tear in half like a sausage.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, like a sausage.
Yeah. It's still meaty. I mean, tear in half like a piece of wet tissue paper... maybe is a better way to describe it. But I mean, the upper part of her torso would go right into the river and then just the legs would come back up on the bungee cord. She just
I think the Queen feels invincible. I mean, she's been the Queen for like 95 years and she became the Queen when she was like 30. So that makes her 125.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like she's like whatever. She did come from a time before seatbelts were invented. So she was just used to those bench seats where it's like you get in the car and it's like two couches.
And she's been a queen for so long that she may actually believe that not only was she given this position by God, but maybe she's become something of a demigod herself, thinking she's invincible.
Yeah.
Like Maui on the show Moana.
Exactly like that. The Queen needs to ride around with no seatbelt just to feel alive again, is what you're saying. It's the only thing that makes her feel alive.
That's what gives her the rush.
Yeah.
That and when she hits glue when she gets back to the palace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's chugging Mountain Dew, Code Red, Gamer's Choice.
Yeah.
And driving around with no seatbelts on, dude. They're going to make a new show about her. I think Nitro Circus is going to sign her, and they're just going to film her driving in a car as a passenger with no seatbelt on.
By the way, we should be careful when talking about the Queen, because people legitimately like the Queen, right? I know she's not our queen, but maybe respect the Queen a little bit more than talk about her huff and glue. That was my comment.
Yeah, you said that.
I know.
Yeah, that
but
was fine.
Tyson
Thank you for
on.
The warning to yourself, Danny.
Yeah.
I was just me talking out loud because people do love the Queen.
Listen, the Canadians who are part of the Commonwealth do, in fact, worship the Queen, if my understanding is correct. But they also have a sense of humor, so I feel like we're okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, you made me feel a lot better, Tyson, about my earlier comments.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned Mountain Dew, Tyson. We have a Mountain Dew story for Danny. Fans
Is
are sending condolences
news?
To Danny after a truck carrying Mountain Dew caught on fire in Kentucky this week.
Not surprised that it caught on fire. There's a lot of chemicals in Mountain Dew. Probably
Mountain Dew's flammable. That warning always says do not consume around open fire.
By the way, look at the picture of the truck. That is quite a fire. I can only imagine how toxic that smoke is.
So the driver was not hurt, but 44,000 pounds of soda on the truck did not survive the incident, Danny.
My goodness, what a waste of that.
Mountain skyrocket.
Now, that what they said was that if the Mountain Dew was wearing a seatbelt at the time of the incident, that there would have been a chance that they could have walked away from it. But the Mountain Dew just wanted to feel alive.
Maybe New Hampshire could get together and pass a law that ensures that all Mountain Dew wears a seatbelt while riding in
Maybe
the car.
This can be a lesson for the Queen.
Yeah, look, this is what, you know, please.
This was what can happen if you don't wear your seatbelt, madame. Mm-hmm. What do they even call her? Madame? Is madame correct?
I think her royal highness.
Yeah.
Your royal highness.
Yeah. Okay. One other story to mention. This, again, comes to us from Florida, where a undercover police officer was able to arrest a sex worker. After she attempted to offer sexual favors in return for $25 and chicken nuggets, Danny.
Wow. She's got low standards.
Yeah. $25 and chicken nuggets. It's not mentioned in the article how many nuggets. I mean, there's a difference between like $25
a 10-piece meal.
Right, like a Carter nuggets for a year, or, I mean, because basically for $25, you know, and sexual favors, like, what is the conversion of Carter who has nugs for a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, what
he gets four nuggets a week for a full calendar year. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, but how many sexual favors does that convert to?
Well, four nuggets, so that's four a week. Probably, mm-hmm. if he gets four nuggets a week, that's four sexual favors a week. So she's, I'm assuming, tit for tat, mm-hmm. nugget for thingy. I don't know.
First of all, what favor was being offered? We don't really know what she was offering, right?
Mm-hmm.
$25, mm-hmm. that could just be like a handy,
mm-hmm.
you know? That, which actually seems like pretty good money, I'm guessing. I know, probably in prison, that'll go for a pack of cigarettes. And like you guys were saying, we don't know how many nuggets. So this might have been a sweet deal for her.
Yeah.
We need more details.
It was definitely a sweet deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, how many dips is she getting with those nuggets? This isn't necessarily a terrible thing.
Where did the chicken nuggets come from in this transaction? Did the undercover officer have chicken nuggets and then she wanted them and he was like, well, what are you willing to do for them? Or is this like a random sort of like she, like the undercover officer stopped her. She said, hey, do you want these sexual favors for $25 and I need to stop and get nuggets?
That's weird because that sounds like a lot of extra work for the guy receiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I got to drive you to McDonald's, go through the drive-thru, have small talk with you after we've just...
Because that sounds like a date things. At that point.
Yeah, maybe it's not so much prostitution.
It's just a reverse order. It's the reverse order of a date.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's the exact
bizarro. Well, you don't know what comes
date.
First, Tyson, the chicken or the
eggs.
Yeah.
Also, maybe in this state, if it's a date, it's not counted as prostitution. So maybe it's some kind of loophole, right?
That
if
a you prostitution get a loophole.
A prostitution loophole is if you get chicken nuggets with your John, then it's no longer prostitution. It's a date.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe.
Okay. And this is in New Hampshire, you're saying?
No, Tyson. This is your favorite
New Hampshire
state,
and all the luxury and all the luxury and all the luxury and all the luxury and all the crazy laws that they're passing now. Maybe this flies there.
Yeah. So this is from another news article. So the undercover officer said, after a few seconds of bargaining for the price of the sexual act, we agreed that I would pay $25 and get the female chicken nuggets in exchange for the sexual act. So,
oh, I see how it went down. So she's like, it's 20. She's like, they bargained. So she's like $1,000 and he's like 10 and she's like 25. He's like, okay. And she's like, and you have to get me some nugs.
No, it's $1,000, 10, 50 and a number two meal.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. $15, $25 for chicken nuggets. Okay.
Deal.
Probably
they shook
exactly
on it.
How it went down.
Yeah.
They shook on it. The undercover cop had been visiting her for months and months just to, you know, and then busted her.
Yeah. He just barely got back on duty after the Papa Murphy sting or Papa John sting.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Maybe they were old nugs that were in the car.
No, they, like, she wanted to him to go get
freshies.
Her nuggets.
Oh, some freshies.
And I don't know if they were in a McDonald's parking lot or not, but I mean, maybe she just loves nuggets. You know, this woman.
They have to be McNuggets, or could they be any nuggets?
All of the news articles are saying McNuggets.
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 Yeah.
So also, it's
those
unclear how many, whether a 6-piece, 8-piece, 20-piece, that we don't know also. But also, this woman was found with 2 hypodermic needles, several plastic bags, a spoon, and a burnt glass pipe. So I don't know if that informs the story at all, Danny.
That could be used for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? She might have been
inventing a new hot sauce.
Yeah,
maybe.
And that's why the spoons are all burned up on the bottom, because the sauce is so hot.
Yeah,
I would love to hear that this cop countered with $15 in fish sticks.
Easy.
What?
Fish sticks.
Easy.
$15 in fish sticks.
Oh,
that's definitely
goodness.
A step down.
Danny, I feel like you had something else on the brain there, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's always on the brain, but we're trying to just keep this PG-13.
Yes, okay.
Your favorite Tool song.
All right. Danny, what's in the bolt hole?
Guys, ooh. I think I found the next Bodie McBoatface.
Oh, good.
Okay? I think I've got the next name that we're going to use for all online polls, or whatever, naming polls, right?
Okay.
And this man... this great American, this patriot.
Donald Trump.
Barry Larry Terry is his name.
Barry.
Are you kidding me?
Barry Larry his parents, Terry?
Barry
his parents
Larry
are
Terry.
Hilarious.
Yes. Now, I can imagine ships being the Barry Larry Terry, HMS Barry Larry Terry.
BLT.
The BLT.
Oh, my goodness.
See,
this
lot
guy is so American. Yeah.
So, Barry Larry Terry was busted... and this is the best part. His crime? Unlawful possession of a raccoon.
It's a wild animal. You have to have a permit for that thing.
Was he trying to choke it to death like last week's story?
It was a pet. I bet it was a pet he got from the wild and trained it to be his own.
Yeah, I actually think that I want to say that his mugshot here, in the article, unfortunately, if you go to the article, the mugshot is fake.
Hmm.
And because they use a guy who looks like he would unlawfully own a raccoon.
Yeah.
Because it added a little bit of humor to it. But, I think that they used that just to get attention because they ended up taking the picture down.
Oh.
So this is kind of a fake news story. Slow, you know, like fake.
It's the slow
gray
roll.
Area. Yeah, it's kind of like a Goop. If Goop was to come out with a news story, that's what this would be. This is
so you
news.
Think so? Is this fake news or is this real
the
news
story
with just
is,
a fake picture?
Is real, but the mugshot is fake.
That's what it sounds like in this article.
Hmm.
It says Graham says he doesn't know the origin of the funny mugshot, but decided to throw it into his roundup as a joke.
But Barry Larry Terry is real.
Oh wait, no. Here we go. Dang it, dude. This is fake news. It was too good to be true.
Oh.
He decided to name the man Barry Larry Terry, and. Oh, man. And wrote that he had been arrested for unlawful possession of a wild raccoon and no headlamp on bicycle. Can the police department troll us like that? Come on, aren't we using them to get, you know, aren't they the most trusted? Well, no, they're not the most trusted source. But they have a real credibility problem, and this type of stuff is not going to help them.
Doesn't help.
Oh, too good to be true. But that
at
doesn't
all.
Change the fact that I think Barry Larry Terry should be the next Bodie McBoatface.
Better.
If anything.
Better than, what was it, Charles.
Charles Dickworth.
Charles Dickworth.
Ooh.
Do they have a middle name, Dickworth?
Bradley.
It was
Bradley
Charles
Dickworth.
Dickworth.
Yeah.
I think Barry Larry Terry flows off the tongue.
Yeah.
Nicely.
Did you know that all those words rhyme?
Well, yeah. Obviously, Tyson.
Okay.
That's why. But I think that if anything, any good can come from this fake news story propagated by the police.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we? Are we in Russia? Come on.
So the police
is
now punking
source.
Us so that they can enforce the law. So their new thing isn't public shaming. It's coming up with this story where it's like Barry Larry Terry was charged with unlawful possession of a raccoon because they have a raccoon problem in the area where people are getting raccoons as pets. So they're like, well, let's come out with this story about how severe his punishment was. And yeah, I think
someone within the department, the police department, obviously had no sense of humor because it got taken down pretty quickly.
Wow.
Okay.
For fear of a defamation lawsuit. So what we see here is a fake news story that is slowly turning into a very real news story for possibly this news this police department.
Yeah, they are going to be in big trouble.
Okay.
Danny, what's the guy? Oh, sorry.
Anything else in the bolt hole?
No, that was it. I was so impressed by this name, I didn't even look for anything else. Barry Larry Terry, unlawful possession of a raccoon.
Wow.
Imagine how cynical I'm going to be now that it turns out to be false.
Very cynical.
I'm going to give in to my millennial instincts.
All right. Well, we're going to ask the audience to come up with some hashtag suggestions for us, and then also check in with our reviews on iTunes, of course, every week. You can send us your reviews of what you think of the show on our iTunes page at newsaf.news. And every week, Tyson pulls them up for us and gives us the best of the best from the user-submitted reviews on iTunes. Tyson, you got anything yet?
Ooh. Yeah, that was good because you led into it without me asking you to stall. So then it triggered me to look up the review. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you were done stalling and turned the time over to me, it was almost time for me to have my...
It sounds like you're still stalling.
They are. They're up now.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, we got a 4-star rating? Okay. Well, that doesn't count. I don't count 4-star ratings. Here's a 5-star rating. Ooh, this is a good one, probably.
Yes.
I'm still looking.
Do 4-star ratings count?
Yeah, I think a 4-star rating can count.
Okay, here we go.
Well-worded.
Okay, I'll read the 4-star rating. But it's... they gave us 4 stars, but then in the thing they say 5 stars, so maybe they just clicked the wrong star.
Okay, it's a typo.
Life of Tyson, 4 stars. This is not a news podcast. It is a mystery podcast.
Ooh.
The mystery is what Tyson does all day. He cannot still be living off Survivor winnings. In my imagination, he has one of the following jobs. Computer tech guy, like an internet web designer.
Yeah.
2, a bicycle sporting goods entrepreneur. 3, a mid-level employee at an internet marketing firm. Since he never talks about his job, I deduce it is not as cool as his public image requires. Nevertheless, it is entertaining to guess. 5 stars.
Wow. Okay. It's a mystery.
I will say this. Tyson could very, to this person, Tyson's very frugal. So if anyone could stretch that money out, it's Tyson. He pretends like he lives, you know, he's like Mike Tyson.
That's the trick.
Know? Buying Bengal tigers and all of that, but Tyson's actually very frugal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't ever spend more than 150 grand a year. Ever.
Ever. So that's good. That's a good way to go. All right. Here's some of these suggestions for the hashtag. Samu sends us a rabid raccoon. Also, Carter's Nugs Nugget Loophole. And then Kitty says Barry, Terry, Larry. I think that's the wrong order, but we know what she's going for there. Matt says Disney Jail. Ben says Spurt, named after Danny's new company. We also have suggestions, Tyson sticker book and the BLT bolt hole. What are you thinking, Danny?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're asking me, I'm obviously going to suggest my idea.
Spurt.
Maybe.
Because that will really launch your company.
Well, launch. Guys, this is going to be a group effort.
We each get 33.3%.
I can't do this on my own. Yeah, I can't do this on my own. We each of us 33.33333.
Infinity. Okay.
To each of us.
Okay. Believe it or not, hashtag Spurt is not giving me any responses on Twitter. Nobody has ever been so bold.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't believe you did the search.
Let's do it.
Good. Let's take it. Let's make it a wholesome tag before someone else gets
it. Hashtag Spurt. Thank you to Ben King for the suggestion and Danny for the brilliant company idea.
Oh,
my
goodness.
So I'll be on the lookout for that. All right. Next week is the 4th of July. So I'm assuming that you guys have a big Independence Day plan.
Yeah, I'm doing fireworks at 10 a.m.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me know. Do we need to move the show?
I don't think so. Danny, do we need to move the show? Are you doing fireworks at 10 a.m.?
Uh, t- 10 a.m. fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be setting stuff on fire, but probably not fireworks.
Do you want to do the show next Tuesday, or should we move it to another day?
No, I think it'll work. I'll be out of town, but
wait, where are you going?
Out.
Are you going to California?
Yeah, I'm going to California.
Oh, classic Danny move on 4th of July.
Classic Danny move. Yep. All right. Well, we will be back on Independence Day here in the United States next week. And maybe we'll have some patriotic stories for you on next week's News AF. Special thanks to, of course, Scott St. Pierre, who edits the News AF podcast, and also to the great News AF intern, Lita, who, even though she traveled to Las Vegas to go watch American Ninja Warrior this week, still was able to curate the News AF news stories. How about that?
Wow.
Awesome.
How about that?
How about that? That's right. All right. Follow Danny on social media at Danny Bryson and at Tyson Apostle. Tyson, anything else this week?
I think that's it. I mean, we're just, you know, we get better each week, I feel.
Yeah. We're on fire heading towards News AF 100 coming later this summer.
Are you
Very
kidding
exciting.
Me?
Yeah.
Danny, can you believe we've been doing it that long?
That is insane.
I was shocked that Bergen turned 2 because where had the time gone? But I'm even more shocked that News AF is turning 100.
Yeah, 100 episodes. So it's all happening. All right. Join us next week live in the group AF Facebook group. And then we'll talk to you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Shaka bros. We did it.